You are not alone on this foster care journey. This is From Foster Care to Foster Mom podcast. It's Yaya. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to From Foster Care to Foster Mom podcast. Whether you're a foster parent, once a foster child, serving in your community, or just interested in learning more, we are here for you. Tonight, I have the pleasure of introducing an awesome young lady by the name of Michelle. Michelle has watched me grow, move, and evolve on this journey from foster care to foster mom. Please buckle your seatbelts as we take you on an emotional roller coaster. Michelle, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm excited about this podcast.
That's awesome. Can you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, yes. My name is Michelle, of course. I was born and raised in Augusta, Georgia, in a small town in Georgia, I should say. For those who's not from Georgia, Augusta, Georgia is kind of the second largest city, I should say, in the state. I grew up a little bit different. I did have my mom in the house, but not a father, but I did have a father figure, which was my grandfather. Awesome man. And I still had issues growing up as well. And listening to Yasmin's story motivated me to go into fostering children as well. And that's the best decision I could have ever made. So with further ado, I will be speaking with Yasmin today on where she came from as far as fostering and where she's going with it. And I think that everybody deserves to hear her story. So that's why I'm here, you guys.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. I'm so excited to have you here on this podcast tonight. I am a little nervous. I will say that it's really kind of hard to speak on topics such as what I've been through growing up in and out of foster care, as well as out of foster care. I'm excited about some of the questions that you have for me. So I'll go ahead and let you get started with your first question.
All right, you guys. My questions that I have for Yasmin are about her life story. And when I heard some of the things that she was telling me, I just knew that it had to be on a broader scale, because I know for a fact there are millions of people who's probably been through the same thing, going through the same thing, and need to hear the story, because there is a way out. And there's a lot of positivity that can come from this. So my first question for Yasmin, now, I want to know what inspired you to become a foster parent? Not just what inspired you, what made you know in your heart of hearts that you would be a great foster parent? Because we do need more like you out there.
Okay, that's actually a great question. I get that a lot. However, I haven't had the opportunity to actually speak on my reasons for becoming a foster parent. So, growing up in foster care, in the foster care system, just seeing how broken the system was, I always said that I wanted to become a foster parent to basically show people how it's supposed to be done. Having grown up in foster care myself, being mistreated, being beaten, having to step all times of the night just because, for whatever reason, one being me telling my babysitter that I was hungry. And I just always said, man, like, I know this is not how it's supposed to be done. There has to be something different, you know? And I always said, when I got older and financially stable, that I was going to go into the foster care system as a foster parent, so I can treat kids how I want to be treated and show people that there are good foster parents out there, because as you know, there are a lot of foster parents who aren't, you know, good foster parents. And, you know, I come from a family of six siblings, and we all were split up, you know, in the foster care system. And that was one thing that just really crushed me growing up, having to, you know, beg and plead to my relative, my actual relative at this time, if we could go visit them. So I also stated that when I became a foster parent that I only wanted some foster siblings because, you know, what better way to become a foster parent than to keep siblings together, right? You know, so that's kind of where I'm at with fostering.
All right. So, Yasmin, I heard you on a couple of key points that I want you to kind of let the audience know. When you said that when you asked for food and you were punished, when you were beaten by people, and what I don't understand, me personally, I didn't understand because I didn't educate myself properly on it. How was that okay for the system to know? Did you tell anybody? That's what I want to know. Did you tell anybody, and what did they do about it?
I actually didn't tell anybody. At the time, I didn't know that I could even tell someone. you know, as a kid, you don't know that you have rights. You know what I mean? You don't know that you have a voice and your voice can be heard. So it never dawned on me to, you know, tell, you know, the caseworkers, oh, you know, my foster parent is doing this, my foster parent is doing that, because all I knew was if I were to say something, I was going to get, you know, a beating that night, or I was going to have to step late that night. And, you know, I just didn't want to put myself through that, put myself or my sister actually through that. So no, I didn't tell anyone. I wish what I know now I knew back then. That's one reason why I want to go ahead and educate individuals that are in the foster care system. I also want to educate foster parents. I hope this podcast will, you know, change a lot of people's opinion about the foster care system, because not all foster parents are bad. However, you do have foster parents who are. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So with that being said, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to ask some of these questions, because I knew a lot of people out there don't know that they have a support system out here. You children that might be listening out there, always tell. You're never left behind. You always tell if you feel something is not right, please, I encourage you to tell someone. They're always listening. Okay. Now we're going to go a little bit deeper, you guys, with some of the things that was bothering me, you know, that was on my mind, which made me scared to foster children again, until I heard some of Yasmin's story. So what made you, at what age did you know that everything was going to be all right, that you just knew that there was a sense of peace that came over you, and you just knew that everything was going to be all right? What age did you look in the mirror and just say to yourself, hey, I know, you know, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. You know, my sister is going to be okay. My siblings is going to be okay. You wasn't scared to open up, you know, and foster kids. You know what I mean? Like, what was that about? Like, what? How did that look?
Okay. So for me, I can say, honestly, it wasn't until a couple of years ago. I always felt like something was missing. I always felt like I had a bigger purpose. You know, growing up, I always said I wanted to be a foster parent. However, I, you know, wasn't, you know, taking the proper steps to educate myself on becoming a foster parent. After college, it was the last thing on my mind, you know. And so one day I just, you know, reevaluated my life and I'm like, man, like something's missing. You ever felt like you kind of had everything you wanted, but you still wasn't truly happy?
Absolutely.
Okay. So for me, it wasn't until I actually made the decision to actually foster, you know, make those phone calls, you know, set up appointments, you know, get my training done. And it wasn't until I got that phone call, you know, that stated, hey, Yasmin, you have been approved to become a foster parent. And it was just like a weight lifted. I always felt like it was more for me to do in this world. And I knew exactly what it was. I just never took those, you know, those steps. And what I want to point out to people is, if you listen to the naysayers, if you go to people for validation about what you want to happen in your life, you will never do what you want to do. I remember, you know, telling my friends and some family members, hey, oh, I want to become a foster parent. And everybody told me that I was crazy. Everybody said I was too young. I have my life ahead of me. But what I've grown to learn is what's for me is for me, and what's for someone else is for someone else. So please keep in mind, if it's something that you want to do, whether it's fostering, whether it's starting a business, whether it's moving to another state, don't go to someone else for a validation or approval for anything that you want to do. Just do it.
Okay. So I want to ask you this. Did you have any doubts? Have you ever doubted yourself? Did you ever say to yourself, I'm not good enough for this? Have you ever doubted yourself in becoming a foster parent? And still, do you doubt yourself after you are a foster parent now and you do a very good job, may I add? But do you ever doubt yourself? Do you ever get scared, you know, tired or anything? Do you need a break, you know, and things like that, you know? And let's, like, I want to definitely keep it real, because people out there, you know, me right now, the one baby that I'm fostering, she's 5 years old, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like I need a break, you know, sometimes. But I mean, that's okay. That's okay too. But do you feel guilty about that?
I used to feel guilty in the beginning, you know, questioning myself, man, like what did I get myself into? Maybe I should have waited. I will say some days are harder than others, but that's the process of being a parent in general. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, it's not going to happen overnight. It's a learning process as well. It's a learning process. the kids are actually outside playing, guys. So if you can hear them in the background, that's them.
They're having a great time.
They are. But I always knew in the back of my mind that I could do it. I knew that it would be challenging. That comes with the territory of just being a parent in general. But definitely, I definitely, you know, have those days where I'm like, man, I just need a break, you know, a day, you know, a couple hours, you know what I mean? So I'm sure you all can relate to that.
Absolutely. Because when you're a good foster parent, you're definitely going to need a break, because you're doing everything you're supposed to do. For that child.
Yes,
absolutely. So a lot of people want to know, how was the honeymoon stage for you? What made you, when you decided to foster and then that honeymoon phase, you were so excited. When did that leave? Or are you still in the same honeymoon phase after a year, 2 years later?
So they tell you that the honeymoon stage is about the first 3 months of fostering a child. It was rocky. A lot of sleepless nights, a lot of phone calls from the school. I mean, daily. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is a bit much. But that made me more eager, and that made me want to do it even more, because so many people give up. So many people have given up on my children that I foster now. And I definitely didn't want to be that person to give up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Some kids, they act out just to see if you're going to be one to give up. You know what I mean? I remember getting a phone call one day from my child's school. The principal called me to the school. She was having an outburst, and I remember having a conversation with her in the car on the way home. And I had probably had her for about 2.5 months, and I just remember saying to her, "Destiny, Destiny, you're a beautiful young girl. There is no reason for you to be acting out like that. Don't you know that there are people who love you? I love you." And I remember her saying, "You love me? You really love me?" And all I could do was just sit in shock, because the way she responded to me saying that is like she had never heard it before.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Wow. And truth be told, those were some of the things that I wanted to hear growing up. You know what I mean? I didn't have a mom to express herself and tell me she loves me and tell me, you know, it's going to be okay. Or just correct me when I was doing wrong.
Okay. I also want to know, I'm curious to know, before you became a foster parent, did you ever decide, like, why didn't you decide to have kids on your own?
Whew, that's a deep, deep question. I actually still do want to have children. When I was about 13 years old, I actually got pregnant. It, of course, was not planned. And I do not have the child now. That's
take your time. Was it your decision?
No.
Okay. So can you please kind of reiterate to the audience and let them know, but take your time, on that particular day? What did that day look like to you? How did you feel on that day? And can you kind of break it down just a little bit for your audience? Just open up a little bit for us.
Okay. I didn't want to get an abortion. I remember the day before the abortion, my mom, she was actually around, but she wasn't, you know, taking care of me. I was living in Atlanta at the time, but I was sent back home to Augusta to have this procedure done. So I remember the day before, my mom came by my grandparents' house where I was at the time. And I just remember her saying, "Oh, you know, you don't have to get an abortion. You can get on welfare and, you know, food stamps and things of that nature." And I felt like, man, like I still, but you're not here for me. You know what I mean? I didn't want to get the abortion. To this day, I still get emotional about it. I felt like I was forced, honestly.
Of course. I mean, you were 13 years old and you were a child. And I felt like, you know, you telling this story that absolutely wasn't your decision. Because if it was your decision, you would have had that support. So again, that question for the audience was because no matter what, if you're in a foster system, if you're living with relatives, that's not your mom, your dad, you know, it still can be a little hectic because someone else is taking care of someone else's child. So it's not, this podcast is not just about foster care. This podcast is just about feeling lonely out there in the world, because depression is real, even at the age of 13 years old. So I do you feel, so you are 27 years old and you haven't birthed any kids as of yet. Do you feel like you're able to birth kids at this moment?
Well, I'll say this. I got an abortion when I was 13. It was either get an abortion or go into a group home. So, of course, I chose to go and get the abortion. But I did conceive at the age of 20. I had what is called an ectopic pregnancy. And I always beat myself up because, you know, I would say, you know, this is punishment, you know, maybe I can't have children because of, you know, me having to, you know, have that abortion when I was younger, you know. So after I had that miscarriage and they removed one of my fallopian tubes, I just felt like I couldn't have kids anymore. And a year later, at the age of 21, I conceived again, but I had another miscarriage. And since then, I have not tried, but I do definitely want to try.
To have kids.
To have kids of my own.
All right. So I'm going to get back to, can you let the audience know how many foster kids you actually have right now, Yasmin?
I have 4 foster kids.
Okay. And it's awesome because, you guys, those foster kids that she have are actually siblings. And she actually has a twin sister herself. So she feels like having siblings means more than anything. At the beginning of our story, you know, you heard her say the siblings, when her and her siblings got split up, that was like the worst thing possible. Like, it broke her heart. So she feels like when she gets kids, she always asks, can I get children who are sisters and brothers, siblings or whatever, because that does make a difference, you guys. For the people out there who are thinking about fostering, think about that. And she does have a set of 4 girls, if you guys can believe it. So I can understand the break that she needs. This is a kind of touchy subject, but I have to ask because, again, people are out there, they want to know these answers. So I'm going to go ahead and ask this question. How is it that raising kids with a different race, how has that been for you?
Oh, that's a great question. Initially, I was kind of skeptical about fostering children of a different race, only because I knew some of the looks I would get, I didn't know what background, you know, they would come from. And it's funny that I mentioned that because my children that I do have of a different race, they definitely came from a racist background. Just some of the things that they would say to me. My dad said I can't talk to Black people. My dad said I can't date Black boys, you know what I mean? It was crazy to hear, but of course we can't foster children because that's how they're raised. But you wouldn't, you seeing them now, you wouldn't believe that's the type of background that they come from. And also having children of a different race, people look at you, you know, my other kids, they're of African-American descent. And so, of course, you know, if I'm out and about in public, people wouldn't question, oh, is she a foster mom? But you see me out in public with 2 Caucasian children, you know, of course, they're going to say, is she babysitting or, you know, what's going on there? And I've actually had people say, hey, I got to ask.
Wow.
Wow, right?
Those are kids. Wow. Some people have the nerve.
Yeah.
So, would you adopt your kids if given the opportunity?
Initially, I was not for adoption, only because I wanted to have children of my own. But you grow on children. They grow on you. Okay. So my feelings have changed as far as adopting them. And if I had the opportunity to adopt them, I would definitely adopt them. Because I know what I have to offer them. I know me being in their life long term could definitely be some good for them in the future.
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons why I respect you so much, because, You guys, I actually saw the kids on Christmas, and it was something like I've never seen before, and them either. And I would like, also, Yasmin, I'm sorry, but I wanted to also let the audience know, can you please tell them how long you've actually had your foster kids?
Yes. So my first set of siblings, sisters, they go by the name of T and D. I won't say their full name, but I've had them since April 3rd of 2019. So April 3rd of this year made one full year.
Wow. That's a long time to to be in the same household. And there's a reason why I'm asking these questions, you guys, because this is that one subject where we are going to speak on is probably one of the hardest things that I know you would have to ever endure, because it's very emotional. But we'll get to that question last. I kind of wanted to dig a little bit deeper with Yasmin, and because I know, you know, some of the stories that, you know, I've heard, you know, from her, her story, absolutely amazing, you guys. And just to see where she came from to where she's at now, it's superb. Like, she's amazing, amazing person, amazing foster parent. Like, you would not believe. The people, the stereotypes of foster care, the foster system, and things like that, it's not a good look. It's not a good look. And to be honest with you guys, what I see in the foster care system, I don't know how many of you guys out there actually watched the movie on Netflix about the little boy, I believe his last name was Hernandez, who got abused, and the caseworker was coming out and saw this abuse. Nobody ever did anything about it, and he died tragically like that. I could not even finish that movie. So me and Yasmin actually watched that movie together, and we couldn't finish it. We were in tears. It was too much. And I know a lot of you guys can actually agree with us on that if you saw the show. So we try to do opposite of that, especially like Yasmin. She's absolutely amazing, you guys. So I do want to ask you another question. This is difficult to even ask. I've actually had the opportunity to experience this for a brief moment, and it broke my spirit. Not my heart, but my spirit. My soul was broken. How do you say goodbye? Have you ever, since you had your kids, since you started the fostering kids, have you ever had to say goodbye? And can you imagine saying goodbye to your kids?
I have not had to go through saying goodbye. However, the time is slowly approaching for me to say goodbye. I don't know how I will handle it. I have people that tell me, you know, Yasmin, you didn't come into, you know, fostering children to just foster, you know, one or two kids, but to foster many. And so I know there's a bigger picture when it comes to fostering, but I don't know. I don't know if I could take it. I don't know. Whew. I do feel like that's something that we should actually be prepared for, you know, because they don't prepare us for that.
Okay. Now, to your relationship status, I kind of want to go in a little bit about that, because again, people need to hear this as well. We're going to try to cover as much as possible with the little time that we have. So I kind of want to hit on this one. How is your current relationship? Like, are you involved? Because in some foster care systems or homes, you have foster care parents or a parent, like you are single mom right now, but how is your dating life with foster kids?
My dating life is actually good. I've been dating the same person for over 3 years now.
Okay.
He has definitely been supportive from day one. Okay. when I told him that I wanted to foster, he definitely said I should go for it. Definitely, after, you know, knowing my background. He even went as far as helping me get all of the furniture, everything I needed, you know, to start everything off. You know, when I have those days where I want to cry and vent, you know, I'll cry, call him crying, and of course he'll say something to make me laugh, and, you know, but he has definitely been supportive from day one. You do have, well, I know of people who have spouses who aren't as supportive. Mm-hmm. And so if you are considering being a foster parent, that's definitely something that you want to have a conversation about, even as far as adoption, because I want to adopt. However, he's not really open to that. Him not having kids himself,
right?
I think, you know, having kids together maybe first and then moving towards adoption would definitely be considered.
Okay. Also, I noticed I met another foster parent a while back, about 5 years ago, and she wasn't as great as you were. And the kids that she actually had, one of them actually grew up to be an NFL superstar. And I felt like when he wasn't reaching out to her, you know, for, you know, asking her for support or get her ideas on what he should do differently or what he should do, what right looks like basically for him. He didn't reach out to her, and she felt bad because in her mind, she thought she did a good job. So I'm going to ask you this. Do you know you're doing the best that you can by these kids, or do you think you can do a little bit better?
I actually know.
Okay.
100% that I am doing my best.
Confident. I like that.
I am 100% confident in that answer.
Absolutely.
yes, I'm definitely doing a great job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I honestly feel like if you had the option to adopt your kids, I think they would be very successful being raised by you. Absolutely. Hands down. In the next segment, I kind of don't want to get into the root of it all, but we kind of hit on it a little bit. But on the next segment, I think I'm going to ask Yasmin publicly if you will allow me to interview you again. But this time, I want it to be all about you, because I feel like there are some deep-rooted issues that other people have been through that need to hear a little bit deeper of your story. I know your story. I want them to know your story, because even though you were raised in a small town in Georgia, there were things that you went through that has nothing to do with foster parenting, that people need to hear. What put you in the foster care system? That's what I want to talk about. What made you and your siblings have to go in the foster care system? That's going to be the next segment. So you guys, just hold tight and we'll be right back with you.
Hey family, we are back for our second segment of this episode. The question was asked of me, how did I end up in foster care? That's a really deep question. From what I can recall, my very first memory was we were with my grandparents. And I remember actually going to the defects office. I couldn't have been no more than four years old, because at this time, my little brother who passed away, he was still living. So I had to have been like 4 years old. And I remember them saying, you guys are going to go stay with this lady. I'll never forget her name, Miss Jeanette. My worst experience ever. You're going to go stay with her. You're only going to spend the night. You'll come back home tomorrow. Tomorrow, we didn't go back home. But at that time, my mother was in foster. My mother was actually in prison. So my grandparents were taking care of us. At that time, I don't remember getting abused as much as I did on down the line by my grandfather and grandmother. But I knew it was a lot on them, raising five kids at the time, little kids, all under the age of 7, I think. And if I can recall, I don't remember exactly how long, but my grandparents did get us back from foster care, but we eventually went back. It was a
off and on
type of situation.
Okay.
Moving forward, I remember I was actually in elementary school. I remember wanting to tell someone about the abuse that we sustained growing up with my grandparents. I'm not saying this to make them seem like bad people, because they were not. You know what I mean? When alcohol takes over, anything is liable to happen. I'll just say that. They were not bad people at all. So I want to make that clear. But I remember wanting to be in foster care, not wanting to go back to that particular lady, but not even just being in foster care, wanting to be somewhere else. I remember we actually made that call to foster care, to defects. We went to the payphone, you know, called that 800 number, basically, you know, told them what was going on. At that time, I don't remember us going, they didn't take us from that particular call. But we definitely went in and out. It's kind of sketchy, because you know how some things you make yourself forget?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff that happened when we were younger, I made myself forget. So that's still something I'm still honestly recovering from.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I remember we would get beat for no reason. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, Chincha. When you say beat, some people use the term beat differently than others. Can you kind of go a little bit more in depth on when you say beat? Because some people believe that spanking their children is the way to go, but some people look at that as beating. So are we talking about spankings, or are we talking about something a little bit more severe?
We are definitely not talking about spankings. We are talking about getting beat with sticks, with boards. You know what I mean? I remember getting a beating so bad, my grandfather felt bad about it.
Wow.
Like, he actually cried. Wow. Because he realized how bad he actually hurt me, you know. And again, when alcohol and drugs take over, there's no telling what you can do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
So that's why I do what I do now. I go hard for being a foster parent. And then hearing the stories of them coming from that type of background makes me want to go even harder as a parent.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So to answer my question, your mom was in prison and your grandparents had to raise you guys, but there was some alcohol abuse in the home and you guys were beating, and I would say severely, because of the alcohol and drugs. No excuse for the parents. Definitely don't ever, ever give an excuse. But don't ever think it's okay. It's never okay to get abused. But as you can see, it messes with our mental a little bit, because you feel like you don't want to put basically salt on the abuser's name or giving, you know, excuses, because that's what it does to us. It's like a Stockholm syndrome situation, to where you're in the moment and you think that that's just like sexual abuse and things of that nature. People who are sexually abused don't feel like they need to tell someone that they're being sexually abused, because they feel guilty themselves. They blame themselves. And as I heard your response, I didn't hear you blaming yourself, but I heard you kind of defending the abuser. Even though drug and alcohol, again, there's no excuse for that. You guys were kids. And also, when you said earlier in the first segment, you said that you and your siblings were split up. And I understand you do have a twin sister. So right now in this moment, how are you and your siblings getting along now? Like, what, how do they feel about you making this, just making this move that you're making and creating this big movement on foster caring? How do they feel about that? And what do they think about the kids?
Great question. My siblings are very supportive of my decision of becoming a foster parent. We are really close. Even though we didn't get a chance to grow up together, you know, we're really, really close. We talk every day. I have two siblings that live in Florida, two different parts of Florida, but we talk all the time. My oldest brother, he lives here in Atlanta, and we talk all the time. And it's always good for us to get together. We do that once a year. My twin sister, we are back together. She was living in Texas, but we actually were fortunate enough to grow up together. We weren't split up.
Okay.
However, my other siblings were.
Okay.
So we grew up together. As we got older, you know, came home from college. She went her way and I went my way.
Right.
But we are.
That's normal.
Yeah, it is definitely normal.
Right. Right.
And sometimes it wasn't needed.
Right.
But they all support my decision of becoming a foster parent. My sister, having been here for a few weeks, just seeing me in action really for the first time in, you know, over a year as a foster parent, it's an awe moment for her.
Okay.
You know, because now she feels attached to my children.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Right, right. So that goes back to show that by you and your sister actually being fostered together, that, to me, I think that's more of one of the reasons why you like to have siblings, because that made you feel comfortable. I think you were very comfortable. I could not imagine you being fostered without a sibling with you, especially your twin sister. So that had to be a little bit refreshing, you know, for you. So growing up with your twin sister, who was more of the protector, you or her? I think I know the answer.
I think you know the answer too. And I would have to say it was me.
Right.
I was really just how we grew up. It was just always in me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I've always been like that. I don't know why. Maybe I do know why, but that has always been me, my personality.
Right. To be a protector.
Yes.
That's exactly what I mean by just by the way you grew up and stuff. It just seems like this is your comfort zone. This is what God put you here to do, is to take care of. See, I take every situation and I try to put God in it, but I do put, because he's a part in everything that we do in life. And when I'm going to go back to when you said to us about, you know, having kids of your own and things of that nature, I feel like because of your situation and what happened to you, God doesn't make any mistakes. It was meant for you to foster kids and do what you're doing with this huge movement with foster caring, you know, from foster home to foster mom. It's beautiful. And I feel like he's making moves in your life so you can do exactly, he placed you exactly where you needed to be and where you're supposed to be. Because there are very few foster parents, as you know, that is not in it for the money. Most foster parents that I've came across has been in it. The first thing I hear them say, oh, the money is good. And I know for a fact it's definitely not about the money for you, because earlier on you said you waited till you got financially stable to foster kids. So you were already there.
Yes.
That makes sense. So people need to probably kind of take a step back and say, am I ready for this? Am I financially able for this? So they can't make it about money.
Right.
We need to love these kids for who they are and deeply, deeply love them the way they deserve to be loved.
Right.
So I definitely applaud you on that. And my last question of this segment is, what in the world made you decide to take this huge step at such a young age? I mean, you're in your 20s and you're doing something that people in their 40s just now decide to do, make up their mind to do. What made you make this huge step?
I knew it was my calling. And I didn't want to be a person that said I woulda, shoulda, coulda. I didn't want to be a person that reflected back on and said, I wish I would have did this when I was younger. I wish in general.
Right.
And me knowing deep down inside that this is something that I want to do, it was a no-brainer for me. And if I could do it all over again, I would. And I wouldn't change a thing. People ask me if you could change what happened to you, you know, at a young age, you know, growing up in foster care, your mom being on drugs, all of that, would you change it? And I wouldn't, because that's what made me who I am today.
Okay. I like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to end the segment. It was nice meeting all of you guys. You guys definitely will hear from me again, because there is more to come. And I'm going to pass it over back to Yasmin, and just know you guys, her story is not over. There's much, much more to come.
Thank you so much, Ms. Michelle. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope that you have learned from this podcast. I hope that you will share it with your friends and family. If you have any questions, or if you would like to send me some topics you would like me to speak on, you can feel free to email me at ff2fm@gmail.com. I want to thank each and every one of you again for listening. And until next time, keep your head to the sky.